It's Marketplace Tech for July 13th. I'm Adrienne Hill in for Ben Johnson. This Wednesday, Amazon celebrates what it's calling Prime Day. And no, 7/15/15 is not a prime number. It's a sale to celebrate the 20th birthday of the company. And one more way Amazon is hoping to grow its business. Gigi Duban reports.
Hard to believe Amazon is 20. Nelson Granados teaches information systems at Pepperdine University's business school. He says that's probably because the company has reinvented itself so many times.
They always seem to be like a new company, right, wherever they go or whatever new venture they get into.
The company's growth from online bookseller has been dramatic, says Christo Wilson. He teaches computer science at Northeastern University. Wilson says the company has revolutionized computer services beyond retail.
And they basically invented cloud computing.
It might seem ironic that the company is marking its birthday with deep discounts aimed at members of Amazon Prime, who, for $99, already get free shipping and other price perks. But consider what Prime has done for Amazon, Wilson says.
It's certainly become the greatest loyalty program in the history of consumer spending.
Prime Day might bring in new members. To take advantage, you have to sign up. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
Early tomorrow morning, NASA's New Horizons probe is going to fly by Pluto. It'll be our first best look at the once ninth planet. It took the probe 9+ years to get there, a 3 billion mile trip. Alan Stern is a planetary scientist and principal investigator for New Horizons. He says Tuesday morning is a truly significant milestone for space exploration.
The spacecraft is racing at 31,000 miles an hour, barreling directly for the Pluto system right down the middle of the approach corridor, and it's going to be spectacular.
What are you expecting?
I'm expecting to show the world what real exploration is all about. The last time it happened was in 1989 with Voyager on its last stop at Neptune. And now we have a chance for a new generation of people to turn a point of light, Pluto, into a planet before their very eyes.
I've read this mission cost upwards of $700 million, and I wonder what'll make it all worth it on Tuesday.
You know, we're going to enthuse people about this country being on its game. We're going to show something that only the United States can do, which is exploring the deepest reaches of space. No other country on Earth has been first to any planet, let alone first to every planet, which is the case for NASA and the United States. And we're going to make history.
I want to ask about Pluto, because when Pluto was demoted from planet status, a lot of people had really emotional responses to that. What explains that emotional tie we all have to Pluto?
Well, I think it's a number of things, actually. Some of it's that some people really identify with Pluto as the underdog or getting kicked around by the astronomers. Others, I think, really like the mysterious nature of something on the frontier. And I know little children love Pluto because they're small and it's small. Although it's not so small, driving around its equators as far as from Manhattan to Moscow.
Wow.
But, you know, in planetary science, people who are real experts in the study of the solar system and planets, we don't buy any of that. We just sort of laugh it off. You know, the astronomers don't really know any more about planetary science than, say, a podiatrist knows about brain surgery. We call Pluto a planet because we don't know what else to call it. It has all the attributes of other planets. Its atmosphere is bigger than the Earth's. What else would you call it?
So if you're going to call it a planet, I'm definitely going to go back to calling it a planet.
There you go.
Alan Stern, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Observatories and planetariums around the country are planning Pluto-paloozas this week. Celebrations, viewing parties, plus Pluto-palooza is really fun to say. We'll tweet out NASA's list of New Horizons-related events. We're at Marketplace Tech. Video games have moved far beyond their reputation as the pastime of loners and become an incredibly social sport. On Twitch and on YouTube, you can watch other people play or stream your own game. And there are also other ways to share. Tomorrow, Sony will release God of War 3 Remastered.
My brothers, we were forged in victory.
In addition to fancier graphics, Sony is promising players a photo mode, allowing them to take and edit in-game photos. But is that something people really want to do? Take screenshots of their dramatic takedowns of Poseidon and Zeus? We reached out to Dimitri Williams for some answers. He's an associate professor at USC. Thanks so much for being here.
Happy to be here.
So how popular are these in-game photo tools?
They're relatively new. I mean, you have a lot of technology with people watching videos of other people play. And that is a feature being added to particular games is it's the developers trying to cash in on that trend.
What would I want to document in a game like God of War 3?
A particularly ignominious defeat or a particularly spectacular victory. God of War is pretty visceral. I won't get into it on radio, but it's stuff that might be spectacularly disgusting or something that really shows off skill. If you do it in a vacuum, it's a single-player game. It's really not as much fun as it is sharing it with other people.
And how do I share these things? I mean, is it just on my social media accounts?
Well, sometimes you're doing it that way. And really, the companies that take advantage of this best get to host that content. And for them, it's free content, and that is, you know, a great get. These are really engaging. They keep people playing, and we see in our research, they actually lead to a certain amount of money being spent.
What other ways are users using these photos? Are they doing anything else with them other than sharing them?
I'm sure that when you have big multiplayer games, they're using them for strategic insights. You know, people who don't play games heavily may be surprised that it's very similar to, you know, whiteboarding at a soccer game or a football match. And you have these really involved strategic things that happen. And so reviewing and revisiting is tactical.
Dimitri Williams is an associate professor at the USC Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm Adrienne Hill, and that's Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.